here we are, hour number three. And more each day, we are learning about this horrible vaccine effort to do something, do multiple things to billions of people, ultimately. Maybe all of them. We don't know. There are so many angles to this that keep coming out. It's not pleasant. One of the things that we've been watching very carefully are the so-called side effects of post-vaccination, well, the first week or two or three. Actually, it can be a couple of hours or less. We've had people, that one lady in Orange County, elderly, 68, I think, got her vax and went into the room where they watch you for 20 minutes and fell over dead before the 20 minutes had expired. So these side effects are enormous. The injuries are lifelong. There are indications now that some of the injuries are actually getting worse, that people are not healing from them, they're not recovering, that once they have been damaged, the mechanism in these vaccines is going to continue inflicting damage on them, perhaps until they die. We don't know. And I hate talking like this. I don't like negativity, but this is called journalism. We've got to report the reality of what we see to you so you can make better decisions. Many of you listening have not gotten a vaccine, and maybe some are still thinking about it. I hope you're not, but maybe you are. Maybe this will help you make a better decision when it comes time to sit down and roll your sleeve up or to stay the hell away from whatever location you're going to. All right, Erica Kahn is back with us tonight. She is following this very closely. She is an MIT microbiologist, a scientist. She is studying this with a great deal of energy and has more for us tonight on what's going on. Welcome back, Erica. Thanks for being here.
Good evening, Jeff. Good to be back.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how good it is, but it's evening,
well,
all right. Yeah.
We're still here, so.
Yeah. All right, so tell us what you're seeing on the she monitors the social media groups, and there are still some up there. They haven't all been taken down yet. They seem to grow very fast. So what is the latest that you're seeing? And this is very interesting.
Well, these groups are suddenly ballooning with almost overnight with new members. And I think part of it is that people that are sustaining injuries from these vaccines are not getting the attention or recognition or relief treatments that they need to deal with these often very, very debilitating symptoms. And so they are joining these social media groups to find other people that are going through the same similar experience and trying to get some support and some remedies and resolution to what's going on. And in some of these cases are shocking. Just the degree of disability that people are sustaining, I mean, to the point where they can't work. Some of them need help getting around.
Really? Physically, you know, they can't get around. They needed a walker or somebody to help balance them, that kind of thing.
Yeah, those types of things. Many are having debilitating headaches, seizures, the neurological issues, the ringing in the ears, vision problems, loss of taste, loss of smell, insomnia.
Well, those were kind of in the first wave of reports. Things have gotten to be much more severe lately, with talk of bleeding, not just monthly bleeding from women's perspective, reproductive issues, but men bleeding, complete body rashes popping up. And you mentioned something about bleeding from the eyes now.
There was a mother that reported that the kids at her child's school had undergone the shot, and a number of them were getting sick. I mean, really, fevers, headaches, you know, much like the adults, except their kids, and then, you know, nosebleeds, and then a couple were actually bleeding from their eyes.
These are younger teenagers, I assume, 12,
yes,
14, 15.
Yes, Yes. I think it may be younger than that, but I'm not sure. I had the impression that it was younger mm-hmm. than that. Mm-hmm. The Pfizer's been approved now for 12 years and up, I believe.
Yeah, correct. What in the world are we to think here, listening to this, bleeding from the eyes after getting a so-called vaccination, bleeding from the nose, bleeding in the blood vessels? We know now that the spike protein does abrade and damage and injure the endothelial cells on the inside of veins and arteries. This is catastrophic in terms of its potential to do damage to millions upon millions of people, and yet they don't even talk about suspending these injections. Nowhere do you get any talk.
People are still pushing for it, and in fact, there's many parents, mothers, that are excited to be able to have their kids vaccinated, so supposedly vaccinated against this, what they are led to believe is a very deadly virus. And all of these side effects are worth it because, well, now, you know.
The side effects, are you seeing that online?
Yes.
The side effects are worth it? They're that afraid of this vaccine? I mean, this virus that has a 99.8 or 99.99% of survival, and that's if you do nothing to treat it. Nothing. You're just going to survive it.
Whatever programming or experiences these people have been subjected to in the last year has convinced them very much so, and they are of the mindset that if they had gotten COVID, whatever COVID is, it would have been much worse than anything the vaccine did to them.
I don't know. You mentioned something also about people trying to get treatment. They're not getting the treatment. What kind of treatment could they get for something as diabolical as the destruction of a circulatory system and damage of the bloodstream? What could they get?
I think that's part of the reason that the medical establishment is refusing to acknowledge that there's any relationship, correlation with what they're experiencing in following these vaccines. I think there's a policy in place with these hospital administrators telling doctors to deny, for reasons of, I don't know, culpability or whatever, but they also really don't have anything to offer these people. I mean, I don't think any doctor is really trained in how to deal with nanotoxicology or genetic intoxication.
Oh. They can't even probably spell it. Right. And so who do these poor, injured human beings, men, women, children, you name it, who are being diabolically abused permanently, who do they talk to? They can't go to their doctors. Many of them are finding that out. You're probably reading that online. So what the hell are they supposed to do? Who do they talk to?
They've got to go in search of other people that have had this experience. And that's why these groups now are ballooning in membership mm-hmm. almost overnight. Mm-hmm. And there's no shortage of them. Now there are separate groups for whatever symptom you're having. And
really?
Sadly... There's a whole group for people that are experiencing burning in the mouth, this foul taste in the mouth, loss of taste, loss of smell.
Mm-hmm. This is crazy. So I didn't mean to interrupt, but the side effects are actually breaking down now into subgroups. And there's so many of them, and people are going into their own particular group to try to get answers. Of course, they're not going to get answers because the people behind this aren't going to provide any information that they don't want to. And they know damn well what's going on with these kill shots.
Oh, they do. And they're working hard to suppress it. I mean, they already have a disinformation campaign to try to discredit these reports, saying that it's all just the efforts of anti-vaxxers to try to discourage people from taking the vaccine.
or delusional anti-vax syndrome, whatever. It's really disgusting. When I hear of teenage children bleeding from the eyes, Bleeding from the mouth, bleeding from the nose. This is a grave, grave concern to me for our future. Not just these children who may never recover. We don't know what the long-term prognosis is. We haven't been there yet. We don't know. Are they going to, some of them going to get better? Are some of the people who have paralysis and seizure-like behavior and tremors, are they going to get better? The headaches, are they going to go away? We don't know. We know they're not going away in most cases. They're getting worse. What do you know about getting worse? And some of that.
Yeah, well, we're 5-6 months into this now, and many of these people have had these symptoms from the first shot. They were debilitated enough from the first shot that they never went back for another one, and they are still dealing with this. I mean, the most notable case is one of the first women. She was a nurse's aide, healthcare worker, who got the shot, you know, at the insistence of her employer. She was kind of browbeaten into getting it. Nobody really has to get this. If they're forcing it on you, that's illegal. But so she wanted to take one for the team, and she did, and she was okay for the first 2 days. And then she, on the third day, started to feel weird and went into convulsions. And now, I mean, she's completely debilitated. And she has since, her employer would not honor her workman's comp claim. She cannot work. Uh-huh. She physically, she cannot work. She can't hold a job because she has these tremors and gait problems. And now she has sought treatment. Some Good Samaritans came out of the woodwork to try to offer some remedies. I mean, nobody really knows how to treat this because we don't quite know what we're dealing with. And the treatments, they may have provided some temporary relief, but none of them seem to take hold. And now, from having daily convulsions, she's going into full-blown seizures and, just crushing headaches.
So she is getting worse.
She's getting worse.
Right.
And she's not the only one. It's probably the most notable. But others have said the same thing, that it just, you know, there are times it looks like it's turning the corner, but then they backslide or it morphs into some other strange symptom.
Symptomology is changing. Oh, okay, this is even worse. That's suggestive of a lot of things.
I just think the entire communication network of the body is totally dysregulated, because I'm envisioning that you're poisoned in multiple ways. You're poisoned with the nanoparticles that the body can't excrete, so they're lodging in tissues. You're poisoned by these spike proteins that your cells have been co-opted into making. Your body's just totally inflamed to try to control the damage.
And your body never stops making these spike proteins. Never. And genetically, you are going to do that the rest of your life. That's the part that really bothers people when they figure it out. They're not told. There's no informed consent for most of these people who get these shots. They're not told of the risks. Their bodies become manufacturing centers, facilities, factories for the spike protein, which we still don't know fully how it does its dirt, but it's bad news. So these poor people are in big trouble. And when the anger sets in, when they realize how they've been conned and lied to, I can't even begin to imagine how much rage there must be in some of them, and fear.
I heard of an incident today. I read an incident today over in Belgium. There was a lone gunman that went after a virologist.
Oh.
Still at large, as of the time I read it. I if you want to call that vigilante justice, I don't know, but people are reaching their breaking point.
He shot the virologist?
He's looking for him, or that was the impression I had. But I think we're going to see more of that. This is becoming untenable.
Who did they go after when the doctors and the hospitals and the medical establishment has no answers, will give no answers because they've been told to shut up? So these poor people are literally dependent upon, it sounds like to me from what you're saying, social media and friends, if they have any friends who are also afflicted. And apparently the number of people, the percentage of people who are suffering, we'll call them side effects just to keep it simple, is much larger than anyone would guess. It's extraordinarily large. Is that correct?
Yes. if you consider, I mean, just for a sampling, look at the VAERS database and be aware that it's 2 months behind schedule, and only 1% of the, of the actual what's actually out there is getting reported. Maybe 10%, maybe, but in, it's typically only 1% is getting reported, and it's 2 months behind. So, do the math.
Yeah, I want to mention also a nurse, the late nurse Tiffany Dover, 30 years old, Tennessee, who took the shot on live stream on the internet, and a couple of minutes after she was injected, she was talking and she fell to the floor and she died a day or two later. They looked up online and certified it, no question about it, Tiffany Dover. And how many others have there been? Total Americans now, this is kind of concerning. We know the Russians have their own Sputnik V vaccine, which seems to be not leaving a trail of injured and broken and dead people behind it like the vaccines over here, Moderna, Pfizer, and J&J. It's a different kind of approach, or it's more gentle. I don't know which. But in Russia, which has a population of 145 million people, let's say, only about 10 to 12 million have been vaccinated to date. Here, we have a population of 330 million, and 158 million and counting have at least had one shot. 148 million in the U.S. have been fully vaccinated with both shots. This country has seen more vaccinations per capita given than any other country in the world. We have been sort of singled out, set up, or something. We are way out in front of the percentages of vaccinated according to any other country I can find.
Yeah, I think you're right. Russia is not forcing this on their people. The reports that I've had or heard, life is back to normal there. There's nobody wearing masks. There's no social distancing. If you want the vaccine, fine. There's no pressure to take it. They're moving on.
Well,
and depopulation, they're not on board with the depopulation for their country.
It doesn't seem so. And I think if we look at, and we're going to talk more about the bloodstream here in a few minutes, but when you look at the Deagle.com projections that first were posted on the internet in 2013, I didn't see it until 2017, you'll see if you do it, if you were able to, it's down now, if you were able to search, and I mentioned this while it was still up, all the white Western Christian countries, cultures, Italy, Spain, France, Germany, England, Belgium, Denmark, the Scandinavian countries, the U.S., Canada. If you look at those countries, they were projected to take the most brutal hits in terms of population reduction, GDP diminution. It was bad. We're supposed to have, in 3.75 years now, only 99 million people left in this country. Great Britain is supposed to have, instead of 70-some million, 14 million left. And people looked at that and they laughed at it. But now they're not laughing, because the mechanism is clearly on the table, staring us right in the face as to how that might happen. And that's got to be really scary for people who know about it. Unfortunately, the vast majority of people don't know about it. They don't know about the projections. They don't know about what you've even mentioned tonight, unless they've been seriously injured and have done the research.
And even so then, they are resistant to, you know, buying into that future. That's too much for most
denial.
People.
A total denial. I would understand it. I do understand it. Unfortunately, there is a possibility now that we see a method by which that kind of mass population reduction could happen.
Easily.
And it's unfortunately very easy. Yeah. Okay. Is any activity being taken by Facebook or Twitter and the others to take these groups down yet? I heard that one was taken down. Are they just
using them to monitor? Several.
What are they doing?
Several. Yeah, the biggest one was one that hit about 125,000 members, and I mean it was growing daily. People were reporting all kinds of things, and it probably lasted 2 weeks, and now it's gone.
Oh, there you go. All right, hold on a minute. We'll take a break. We'll come right back and continue our conversation. And for all of you out there who have been vaccinated and who are doing okay, I'm very happy for you, but many aren't, and I think most of you know that. And those of you who haven't been vaccinated, well, we've talked about the idea of transmission of spike proteins from the vaxxed to the unvaxxed, and that's another problem. We'll be right back. Hold on. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Erica Kahn about this horror that is continually unfolding every day. I'm hearing things that are worse and worse. This spike protein seems to be the item that is being transmitted from the vaxxed to the unvaxxed. What is the sense of most people online now about that? Who are still talking about it? You got spouses who are split, vaxxed, unvaxxed. You got friends, the same thing. It does seem to be dose dependent. I'm just guessing, but that's my layman's analysis. If you're around people who have been vaxxed and they are each individual manufacturing facilities for spike proteins, which they're throwing off and transferring and transmitting to others. If you're around every day, you're going to build up a number of these, lots of them. And the question after that is, can the spike protein replicate itself? So first, what are people saying about the idea of being around people who have been vaxxed if they are not vaccinated?
They are having symptoms. They feel crummy. And it does appear to be, a number of hours, like a workplace setting, possibly, maybe a couple hours at a restaurant or something like in close proximity. I still have a hard time thinking that they could be exuding enough spike proteins to cause a problem in somebody else.
Mm-hmm. So where does that take us? What are your ideas on this?
I think there's another component here that we're not seeing. I don't know if these spike proteins, now that we know about this magnetic issue, I don't know these are magnetized spike proteins that once they're inhaled, they, they're a blood poison. They can cause the blood to clump or clot.
So, okay,
that I could buy into.
A spike protein that's magnetized or otherwise conjuncted with magnetite or something, maybe bound
or
up
some
to
metal,
magnetite.
Some
metal, okay. Ferrous oxide, could be anything. So
yeah,
it goes in the blood, and how does it disrupt the blood with the magnetic aspect? We're not even talking about what the spike protein already does to the blood system in terms of the endothelial cells and the components in the blood itself. It's poisoning the blood. So how do the magnetics influence the blood, first of all?
Well, all of the metal oxide nanoparticles have that ability. Yeah, they tend to aggregate, and this can, the immune system sees it as a pathogen. Even though it's not alive, it reacts to it the same way, and it can, tries to wall it off. And if the platelets get activated, then the whole clotting cascade begins. Now, so there may be that happening. I mean, these spike proteins are also disruptive to the endothelium. So if it's, damaging it directly or just irritating it in some fashion, if it's docking on the ACE2 receptors and causing problems that way, that may be what's happening. I don't know. But I think, you know, many of the doctors that are speaking publicly on this are saying that these vaccines are not shedding. Well, I disagree, because I believe the adenovirus, I mean, that's alive. It's merely attenuated, and it can revert to virulence under certain conditions, particularly when you put it into an immune-suppressed person.
Okay, now, so the adenovirus is in the J&J.
That's the J&J and the
clear.
AstraZeneca.
Okay. And the AstraZeneca. Okay, that's a virus, and they've used that virus to attenuate it, which means weaken it, but it can actually gain strength and become strong and virulent again. They're using that to transmit the spike protein into people, I guess. Correct?
Yes. Yes, it's a vector. It delivers the genes, and wherever this vector ends up, whichever cells it ends up infecting, which, curiously, with adenoviruses, they can infect a wide range of cells, ranging from the endothelium, the epithelium, brain cells, and heart cells.
Is it any surprise
that people that take the vaccine from J&J or AstraZeneca are having issues with clots and strokes and heart attacks?
So these are even with attenuated adenoviruses. They can somehow become virulent again and an attack.
Yes, it's not supposed to be a productive infection. It's supposed to just go in there and then hijack the cell to produce the spike proteins and then not progress beyond that. But they don't know that that isn't happening. And it has happened with vaccines in the past, polio being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we could be looking at some kind of now virulent adenovirus that's endowed with genes to produce a spike protein, which would be a novel virus for everybody now. I mean, it's a GMO. It came out of a lab. It didn't come into being naturally. Mm-hmm. So there's that possibility. And as I said before, with the mRNA, the Pfizer, the Moderna, that's just free genetic material for any virus to incorporate into its genome. And I don't know that we're not looking at some kind of mutant virus from that.
So, okay, the human body has millions of viruses in it at all time. So any one of these types of viruses, or multiple types of these viruses, could be coming engaged with some of the components of these vaccines and becoming trouble. And those could be being shed, right?
Yes.
Along with the spike.
Yes.
Hmm.
So it may be a combination of all of the above. And it probably is.
All right. Let's take the spike protein and go into the bloodstream. This is poisoning the blood of people, is what it's doing. It's a synthetic. It's going in there. My only concern, and my biggest concern, is this could get a lot worse a lot faster if we find out that the spike protein can replicate. Do you have anything about that? Is that a possible? Proteins don't usually replicate, but is it trained to go into a cell that will reproduce it, but can the spike protein itself replicate itself? That's another issue.
It can't do it without the nucleic acid, which it doesn't have. It doesn't have it.
All right. So, again, we're talking about dose-dependent transmission issues. Probably. You've got to be around
because it.
Go ahead.
Many of the people, I mean, the symptoms come and go depending on who they're around, you know, and for how long. If they can get away from these people, then the symptoms subside. So that tells me it's not infectious. Whatever these people are exuding, they're being exposed to it, and their bodies are reacting to it. If it was an infection, then, you know, these symptoms would linger even after they depart from, you know, these people that are exuding this stuff.
Okay, what happens in the blood? Now, I understand that there are some people doing dark field microscopy on living blood. Have you come across anything in that realm?
Several people now have come forward, and that these are people that study the blood, the immune functions, you know, by what's going on in the blood. Some of them are just looking at ratios of various classes of white blood cells, red blood cells. Those people are saying they've never seen anything like this. And with each subsequent dose of vaccine, the picture gets worse.
Tell me what they have never seen anything like this about. What are they talking
about?
Well,
if you're in that field, you're used to looking at people's ratios of various.
I've looked at my own blood under a dark field microscope. It's fascinating. Yeah.
Well, this is just numbers. This is not even the morphology of the blood cell, the appearance of the blood cell. This is just ratios of various classes of white cells and the red cells. And whatever those ratios are, they're way out of line. Way out of line. So there's people that have come forward saying that they're very concerned about what's in these people's future. It doesn't look good. It gets worse with every dose these people have. They might look fine on the outside, but at least on the level of the blood, it's very concerning. And then we have the people that are doing the live blood analysis or dark field microscopy, where they look at people's blood under a microscope and examine its behavior, the shape, the way it's moving. And that's looking horrible. It's
horrible.
Got all the hallmark features of cells that are damaged in really weird, strange ways. I mean, it's
like example.
Well, the outer fringes of the cells they look frayed. They look burnt, charred.
What? How can this be?
Yeah, I mean, they're clearly damaged. They should be nice and round and smooth and buoyant, and they're anything but.
So is this, now, a spike, a protein is 10 times smaller than a virus, just so all of you know that. Blood cells are huge in comparison. So these people are
you wouldn't be able to see a spike protein on a dark field, in no way. But you could see the damage.
This is really one of the most disturbing things yet, and this is new. They're now reporting that the blood and blood cells, platelets, T cells, white cells, all of them, are not in the proper ratios. That's what I think I'm hearing. And secondly, many of them are showing unmistakable, clearly visible signs of having been damaged, at least on the outer side.
Yeah. So, which I guess just confirms a lot of the symptoms, or corroborates a lot of the symptoms people are experiencing. I mean, if you don't have healthy blood, I mean, nothing else in your body is going to be healthy. I mean, that's your life force. And there's indications now that we're into this 4, 5, 6 months that it sort of appears that people are not regenerating their blood after these vaccines. The lifespan of a normal red blood cell is 120 days. And I'm seeing complaints of people feeling like they've aged overnight. They're just falling apart. And so maybe these lipid nanoparticles, I know lipid nanoparticles can reach the bone marrow, and the bone marrow is where you regenerate your blood cells along with your stem cells. And so if your bone marrow is poisoned, you can't regenerate anything, really, or you're going to have a real hard time. And it seems like we may be seeing that.
If that happens, that's genocide. That's the end. A lot of people are going to leave us very much sooner than they would expect. And this is really horrific. Now you mentioned and you heard Erica say that the lipid nanoparticles, remember, those are the particles that cover the single-strand mRNA that is the key component to instruct the cell to begin to manufacture the spike protein. So these lipid nanoparticles, these coverings to protect that mRNA, and also on top of that is PEG. So, but these lipid nanoparticles, you're saying in and of themselves are very toxic, and
yes.
can apparently get in. If they're getting into the bone marrow, it sounds like it's over for a lot of people. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to look at this.
Yep.
120 days, your red cells are supposed to last. The red cells do what? They carry oxygen to your body everywhere, every cell in your body. Hemoglobin. It binds up with oxygen and the red cell carries it. If at the end of 120 days, you don't have many red blood cells left, you won't have any energy, you won't have any spark, you will feel horrible, correct?
Yep. Yeah. And there are indications that that is what some people are now experiencing.
What are they saying about how they feel? Give me that again. I heard a little bit of it, but they're saying they feel like they're going to die, or they're what?
They're exhausted.
That could be oxygen. That could be lack of red blood cells right there.
Yes.
Could be.
Yes. Yep. Either you're not producing the red blood cells or you're not binding the oxygen with your hemoglobin. Something ain't right. hair falling out. I mean, that can be a regenerative process, too. You mean skin falling off?
Now, I heard about that weeks ago, but I haven't heard about it. This is still being complained about now, hair falling and skin?
Yes.
You're exfoliating,
yes.
As a matter of fact, yes.
There are various beauty salons and estheticians that will not take the clients who have had the vax because when they go to exfoliate the skin, it starts bleeding. Hairdressers are saying that they have to do a patch test now for people having their hair colored because if they've had the vax, they're suddenly allergic to hair dyes where they never were before.
Wow. Okay. The idea of skin sloughing off and
bleeding.
Bleeding. These are, and under any other time in our history, our modern history, I should think that a vaccine or vaccines, alleged vaccines like these, generating these kinds of responses would be immediately pulled off duty and put on the shelf and examined and studied. I'm not hearing anything about that from the government. Nothing.
It's being deliberately covered up. Deliberately. They're aware, but they're denying it. And obviously, there's an agenda.
Yeah, it's a very bad one. Now, you mentioned that there was someone who had, and I've asked you in the audience out there, our wonderful family of listeners, if you know anyone who has been vaxxed and you have an EMF meter, just check them out. Tell us what you know about that. This is really weird, scary stuff.
Well, I, given what's been happening with the magnets, somebody felt compelled to get an EMF meter and run that meter over the area where the vaccine was given, and sure enough, it's putting out a signal.
How can that be a pretty good signal. Really? Not just a little tweak. A pretty good.
Oh no! It sounds like a Geiger counter.
How can this be? So, all right, we've got something that is magnet sensitive. In other words, a magnet will stick right to it. We've seen that plenty of times. And now people are being, at least one person, and I'm looking for more, if there are any, is emitting electromagnetic frequencies. And as you just heard, not just a little, a substantial amount from the vaccine site on the arm. Do we know how long that person had been vaxxed? A day or two, or was this a week or a month?
No, I don't know.
See, these are the pieces we need for the puzzle. If somebody you know will let you, just hold a meter up near them, and if they start to show EMF, ask them when they were vaxxed, how long ago. You would think that whatever components and compounds are in these injections these horrors would dissipate throughout the body. The body, after a week or two, would make them basically just spread out everywhere, and they wouldn't be able to hold a magnet. But that one woman, at least one, it was over 2 weeks since she had been vaccinated, and the magnet stood right there. And when they turned the magnet over, it repelled from the magnetic field on the other side.
Yeah.
Now, this whole thing is like a sci-fi movie and worse.
Well, there's some speculation normally it should, I guess, disperse over time and then hopefully get excreted. But if this is a scaffolding site or a nucleation site for synthetic biology or inorganic materials to support synthetic biology, then it can recruit more of that material and start building on itself.
Oh.
So over time, you may become more conductive.
And if this magnetic material, that guy in 1995 said liquid crystals, I think he said, whatever, if they migrate to the brain, and that would be the target area, I would think, if these are
it
in
seems
any
to
way
be
designed to, yes, make someone into a microtransmitter, and they go into the brain, where does that leave us with 5G and then 6G?
Yeah, I just wonder if these people with these magnetic areas on them now are just, you know, they're waiting to be activated.
What are they, what's going to happen? What are they going to do? What are they going to do when they activate
If I had to guess right now, I would say that
it's pure
this has something to do with mining their biometric information and probably transmitting it to something like their cell phone or a nearby tower or whatever.
That's what they're after right now. Through the cell phone and go right to the nearest tower and then through the system.
Yeah, your cell phone is never really off. They can turn it on and off. They can put a signal through it. That technology is there to do that. And the technology to acquire biometric information with something implanted in your body, and it doesn't have to be a chip. We've moved past chips. We can do this with these nanoparticles now.
Yeah, that's really important to understand. Don't think injectable chips the size of a grain of rice.
Nope.
Oh, no.
This is called smart dust. And
wow.
Now it's in us. It whether you got the shot or not, you know, it's been raining down on us. It's on our food. It's in all kinds of consumables.
All right. Last question. Maybe I shouldn't even ask this, but what do you see happening in 6 to 12 months? Real quick.
This country's going down fast.
All right.
Unless enough people wake up and...
Yeah. That tells the story.
Get out of the slumber.
Unless enough wake up. Most people, so sad. Who do they go to? Not their doctor. Nothing there. Not going to happen. All right, Erica, thank you very much for being here. Thanks for sharing all that. It's
okay, Jeff.
It is like a horror film for sure.
It
we'll
is.
Keep watching it. All right. Take care. Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Okay, everyone. Again, there's a lot of speculation here because we don't know, but it's logical and pragmatic, and much of it is from yours truly, not our guests. But I think you hear a real recurring theme. This is big, bad, and it's going to get worse. Okay. Thanks for being here. You're appreciated. We'll talk tomorrow.